AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Hello and welcome to Florida Basketball Hour. I am Neil Blackman, Saturday Down South, representing the Gator Tip-Off Club today. A little info on the Gator Tip-Off Club. If you are in like the Gainesville area or you're in town for a lot of basketball games, definitely can't recommend that enough, I think, for like, you know, something that you might want to get involved in. I would just say, can't go wrong. https://www.gatortipoffclub.org. For those that might be interested in that, I just put it up in the chat there in the comments, how to join the Gator Tip-Off Club. Very much worthwhile. Guest speakers every week, catered meals before every game. Members of the coaching staff come by and talk to you before games. Graham Hall, our buddy from 247 Sports, previews a lot of Florida's opponents. I preview a lot of Florida's opponents. Some. The ones that Graham doesn't get to. So anyway, very, very much worth it. Join the Gator Tip-Off Club. There are somebody from the Gator Tip-Off Club at almost every Florida game, home and away. It's the organization for diehards, and there's membership tiers. So when you join, you can either choose a high tier, like the all-star level tier, where you're going to get a free polo with your, membership or your courtside membership. You're also going to get that, or you can just be a baseline member, which is going to get you access to all the meetings anyway. So anyway, that's something that I think is worthwhile and worth doing. All right. We are really stoked because this is our SEC basketball preview. We've had a lot of people that have hit us up over the last couple of years, and they're like, hey, we really enjoy your coverage. We'd love to hear you talk more about the SEC broadly and more generally. And so, a lot of our show is Patreon-driven. Our support is Patreon-driven. Make sure you check out our Patreon, patreon.com/FloridaBBHour, and subscribe to that. But we consistently have gotten these comments like, you guys should do an SEC preview. You should do an SEC preview. You should do podcasts on the SEC. And so Fawcett is on his way back from Spain now, I think. He's been on a sort of basketball mecca journey out there, just seeing a lot of good hoops and learning a lot. But we kind of put our hive mind together and decided that we would do an SEC preview show this year. So here I am to preview the SEC. Do I think the SEC will be the 14 bid monster that it was last season when it topped the KenPom rankings for the first time ever? No, I do not think that. Do I think that the SEC is going to be the best league in college basketball? Yes. I know that there are people that say the Big Ten is trending on that front. There are people that say the Big 12 will be back, right? And I do think the ACC will be better. So I actually think that the folks that think it's sort of three of the Power Five leagues and then a significant drop off to the ACC and Big East are wrong. I think the ACC is going to be very good. I think the ACC could get as many as 8 bids. But I do think the competition for best league is a three league race between the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC. I think that the SEC will be a little more parity driven this year, right? And that the Big Ten will be the one that's sort of elite squad driven, which, I do think kind of matters in the sense that if I were a Florida fan, for example, I would say, hey, how many teams in the SEC are going to be one seeds, right? And I think that competition is pretty small. Like, I think there are really three programs I could see getting a one seed in the SEC this season. Those would be Florida, Kentucky, and Tennessee. After that, anyone that gets a one seed is going to really surprise me. Last year, I thought there were as many as five teams from the SEC at one point in time that I thought, hey, if that team gets a one seed, I will not be that surprised. And I wrote this in my weekly Saturday Down South columns. So I think you're kind of looking at a league where maybe the top isn't quite as elite. And in other leagues, you know, you look around and you're like, well, maybe the top is actually a little more elite in another conference, right? I think the Big East is a great example because I think the Big East is the fifth of the Power Five leagues, but they have two teams in the AP Top 25, and I think we're going to have two of the top teams in KenPom pretty much throughout the year, right? I think the Big Ten is another example. Like, if Michigan is as good as everybody thinks, then you're potentially in a scenario where three, maybe even four, depending on UCLA, teams are kind of in that 1-2 seed discussion almost the entire year. And then the Big 12, they're going to argue their cream of the crop is even better with Houston, sort of many people's national championship prediction. And then Texas Tech, kind of, can they take that next step? They were so close to the Final Four last year, obviously. And Arizona, relying big time on freshmen, but also getting Crevis back healthy. We've talked a lot about them, you know, getting Dell'Orso back. I really shoot it. So I think that there's arguments to be made, and Kansas, Darren Peterson, never count out Bill Self, right? So there's arguments to be made. The top and those other leagues will be just as good as the SEC, if not a little better this year. The thing about the SEC is still just so many good rosters, right? Like, so many good rosters to where, like, I get questions about Miss State, who we'll talk about, and people are like, well, you know, KenPom has Miss State 26, and I think, I don't know what Fawcett and I put him in our preseason poll. I should have had that up. And, you know, why don't you like him as much? And the real answer to that is, like, juggling the programs from spot, say, 4 to 12 this season is just so hard. It's just so hard to figure out, like, where I think, you know, where do I think that the best teams are 4 to 12? How do I sort out Mississippi State's roster from, say, Missouri's roster? What do I think of the roster that Bucky McMillan's built that seems pretty well equipped to play Bucky ball? But I also think, like, he's going to have lineups where they don't have a single dude on the floor who is, or maybe they have one guy on the floor that's over 6'5". And are they just going to get annihilated on the glass, like, as a result of that, right? I think those things are kind of questions, for me at least, that, you know, are harder to answer in the SEC this year from, say, 4 to 12. So let's dive into it. Everybody was kind of, when we thought about how we wanted to do this show and how we wanted to talk about the SEC, I think the easiest way ended up being to just go ahead and talk about predicted order of finish, which is, so that's how we'll do it. We'll start with the defending national champions, your Florida Gators. If you're a Florida Basketball Hour listener, if you're new to our SEC style programming, or you're somebody that's listening that's a fan of another program, you know, I cover the entire league for Saturday Down South. I'm going to do some basket and review stuff this year. Like, I'm somebody that covers the entire conference. So, you know, I'm not going to speak from any sort of position of bias, even with my Gator Tip-Off Club shirt on, about what I think of your program. I like a lot of these coaches, and I like a lot of these teams, and there you go. So we picked Florida to win the league. Look, I think the primary reason was that, and again, like, would it shock me if the Gators don't win the conference? Absolutely not. Not even a little bit. You know, and I actually mean that, not even a little bit. I would say the thing about Florida is that there's still questions as to just how that, like, how does that,
how does that backcourt work, right? You've got a ball dominant guy in Xavien Lee, who hasn't played off the ball in his entire collegiate career. He's going to play off the ball some. You got Boogie Flynn. Now, there are people that talk about Boogie being inefficient and talk about, you know, Arkansas was 0-5 when Boogie in the SEC when Boogie went out. And yeah, I mean, a lot of that is true. I also think that, you know, two things. First, I think Flynn will get better at finishing at the rim in a better offense, which Todd Golden undoubtedly has. I also think that Boogie, even with some inefficiency towards the end of last year at Arkansas, was a guy who was having the best year for a freshman point guard in a Power Five league since Nico Mannion in 2020. So it gives you an idea of just how well Boogie was playing, averaging 13.5 points per game, averaging 5.1 assists, having a assist to turnover ratio in the top 50 in the sport. I mean, you know, if your question marks are, is he going to finish at the basket? That's entirely and eminently reasonable, right? And I think, like, when you look at Boogie, that's where sort of everyone's questions kind of come in, is can he build on the stuff he did really well, right? And if he can build on the stuff he did really well, then Florida's in business, because Florida, the way that they're big seal, he's probably going to finish better at the rim than the 40% he was at last year anyway. The way that Florida creates second chance opportunities and open shots off their offensive rebounding, like, you kind of get the idea that Boogie will be pretty dang productive in that regard anyway, right? And so those are all sort of reasons that, you know, I think irrespective of how the combination with Lee works, the Gators should be able to do quite a few things, you know, very, very well just with Boogie Flynn last year. And that, I think, it's worth thinking about, because, yeah, does Boogie have some questions? Yes. Does he also just probably improve a little bit just by virtue of being a sophomore? Something that, like, say, DJ Wagner did. Something that, say, Tommy Houck did. You know, something that happens to good players. Yeah, I think he does. So, like, when I look at Boogie Flynn, you know, I understand that there are some criticisms, some concerns. Two I don't have are shooting the ball. You know, he was 37% from three when he went out injured. Didn't shoot it very well in the NCAA tournament, and so that ended up being 34%. But when you look at, like, where the metrics were for Boogie, they were awfully good, right? You know, for a while. So I think, does that, you know, give you a little bit of confidence maybe if you're Todd Golden? Sure. As for Xavien Lee, like, you know, the thing about him is he's just got such a big bag offensively. Like, you know, Todd Golden was reticent to talk about, like, where he felt sort of the where he felt the ball would go late shot clock, right? Like, I don't know if late shot clock the ball goes to Xavien. I don't know if it goes to Boogie. He's like, yeah, we'll figure that out. I think Xavien Lee will get those opportunities at least at some point, because he's, if there's a guy that you trust to create a shot in not a ton of space, it's him. And I know that there's this notion that Xavien came from a Princeton offense because he played at Princeton. And you think of sort of, you know, even with Princeton's sort of principles of having a post player, a lot of crisp ball movement and stuff like that. But the reality is Princeton played a lot of isolation basketball the last 2 years. Like, they ISO'd at a percentage of their possessions over 30% that was in the top 100 in the country. So a little different stylistically of a Princeton offense than what you think of. And I think that's a little different than sort of Florida's continuity offense. I think when Florida plays out, if it's empty, which they do quite a bit, you know, I think that those are still going to be better opportunities for a guy like Xavien Lee, because you know, again, like the way that Florida seals, the way that they screen. And then, you know, the big question for me with Xavien is, as a distributor, when he gets downhill, can Florida knock down shots? Like, I think that's question one. Like, can Florida around Xavien Lee knock down shots to make that assist rate continue to be elite? And, you know, does Xavien make good decisions with the jump up and physicality? I'll get to that in a second. So for me, like, the two numbers to look at, well, the number to look at for Florida is 34%. Like, if they shoot 34% from three this season, if they're over that, I think they can go back to the Final Four. If they don't, if they're under that, I think it's going to be hard to get back to the Final Four. The front court is the best in college basketball. It's the most versatile. It's the most physical. It's the deepest. It's the best defensively. They are not flawed in the front court. So what do you get out of those two guards? And then what's behind them? Urban Klavsar, who had a monster offseason, and Alex Lloyd, who is a walking bucket. And it would stun me if he doesn't have an 8 to 10 minute role come March as he adjusts to physicality. My big question for Florida, in addition to the shooting, if I had question two, like somebody said, Neil, what goes wrong for the Gators? What happens to the Gators where they don't win the SEC and they don't go back to the Final Four, and maybe they lose in the Sweet 16, or maybe they get stunned in the second round? The answer to that question is physicality, right? Plain and simple. It's physicality. It's, can Boogie Flan, who's added weight, hold up over an entire season? Can Xavien Flan, who's gained 10 pounds, can he handle the consistent physicality, especially in the NCAA tournament when it, you know, it was so funny last year when people were like, it's going to get officiated differently. The SEC is going to struggle in the NCAA tournament because they blow the whistle and they don't, like, nonsense. They allow more physical play in the NCAA tournament. That's been the MO of that tournament and competition for over a decade, and the foul rates prove it. The data proves it. And Florida had absolute dogs in that regard last year, right? Like Elijah Martin, not bothered by physicality, Mr. Physicality. Walter Clayton, football prospect, you know, never really bothered. Great finisher at the rim by the time he was a senior. Will Richard, maybe one of the nation's best rim finishers. You're seeing how physical he is as he's excelled early in his NBA career. So that, to me, kind of, when you look at Florida, can they answer the bell physicality-wise in the backcourt? They're going to get a lot of tests in that regard early in the season, including Monday night when they play Arizona, and Jaden Bradley's out there, a good defender. Braden Burris is not necessarily, you know, your most physical guy, but an 18-year-old freshman that can get downhill. Can Florida play with the physicality defensively to slow him down, or does he just get into the paint at will, right? These are sort of the questions I would have. And for Florida, that's it. Everybody's talking about Tommy Houck at the three. Oh, is it an Alex Caraban situation? Can he adjust to being on the wing? Not concerned about it. Not concerned about it. Like, I talked to scouts from four NBA franchises this summer. All of them view Houck as like a big three guard type player at the next level because they think he can handle. They saw that he could handle in workouts. They think that he's going to excel coming off screens in Todd's offense. They just want him to shoot it a little better and more consistently, right? And show that he can get to the free throw line coming off the screens a little more. Because one thing the Gators didn't do a ton of last year, surprisingly, was get to the foul line despite their physicality. Can Florida do that? You know, not worried about the Houck thing. It's physicality. It's three-point shooting, plain and simple. But the Gators are my favorite in the SEC. I think they're going to be better defensively this year because of Boogie Flan. I don't think they're going to have to rely so much on the structure of their defense. I think they can be a little more disruptive, produce more turnovers, get more easy points that way. On paper, that's the best team in the SEC. Hold on. Love recording in the studio where the lights go off all the time. So, you know, what can you do? All right. Number two, we got Kentucky. Obviously lost to Georgetown last night as we record here on Halloween. Am I even remotely concerned about the Kentucky loss to Georgetown? No. Talked to Mark Pope a little bit at SEC Media Days. And one thing that Mark brought up that I thought was really fascinating was that, you know, obviously they had a ton of money that they had to build this roster, but they went out and were super intentional about the way that they built it. And the biggest thing was that Mark, who has rarely had defenses in the top 75, wanted to make sure that this team not only defended in the top 75, which should be a prerequisite for any Power 5 team, given the way that those efficiency metrics factor in things like quality of competition. He wanted to be a top 20 defense, something that they wrote on a board. If we're a top 20 defense, they felt good about their chances to potentially not only compete for the SEC championship, but compete for a national championship. So they went out, and it's really two guys, right? It's Modi Abate, who does everything and never backs down physically from any fight. And it's Denzel Aberdeen. And Denzel Aberdeen was the culture changer. He was the guy. He is their Elijah Martin, like the way that Elijah Martin came in last year and revolutionized the competitiveness of Florida's practices and raised what was already a competitive roster, because it's not like Condon and Houck aren't competitive dudes. It's not like Walter Clayton isn't a competitive dude. But it's the ability to demand that every day that I don't think people understand. You know, you understand the like concept of the 18 to 23 year old kid who, you know, it's hard. You got a lot of shit going on, man. You got class, you got your girlfriend, you got, you know, whatever's going on the weekend that you're absolutely interested in, because it's not season yet and you just want to get through that Friday practice. That changed at Florida under Elijah Martin. Denzel Aberdeen saw all that, and he's the same guy every day. He is the same guy every day. And, you know, he just wants to win so bad. They talked about a party where they played some ridiculous game at, I think it was Horseshoes, at Mark Pope's house at a barbecue. And, like, Zell had the whole team fired up because he just had to win at that. That's who Denzel Aberdeen is. I think he's going to be, you know, it's so funny. People wonder what his role was going to be. We saw in that first scrimmage, he was the one guy that played almost 30 minutes. Like, he's going to live on the floor for Kentucky. And they're going to play around him and Otega Owe, who could win SEC Player of the Year, as much as possible. And I think Otega is going to be better defensively for it, like a Will Richard type defensive jump. It's possible there. And I think their backcourt's going to be better for it. And they're going to guard with him on the floor. Now, will Jaden Quaintance play? You know, Mark Pope said, I can't imagine a scenario where he doesn't try to play this year. We got a lot of rosy reports about his availability earlier in the offseason. Now those reports are a little less clear, a little less rosy. But I still think he gets back. My big question for them is, you know, I think they're going to be a top 15 defense. I think top 15 is what that ceiling is defensively for me. I think the big question for them is, like, do they rebound constantly? Like, I don't know if they rebound, right? And we've kind of wondered about that because, you know, if Quaintance isn't around, right? Like, do I think, like, there are players on their roster that absolutely can get rebounds, right? Yeah, I do. But I also wonder a little bit, like, you know, if you get Aberdeen, Modi, and Quaintance together, you're feeling pretty good about your defensive ability. What you're probably wondering about is, like, you know, do you have to play Malachi Marino more? Because he's a guy that can rebound. Like, Brandon Garrison competes, not a great rebounder, right? You know, Jalen Lowe competes, not a guy who's going to get a ton of rebounds. Otega Owe competes, not a high volume rebounder. So, like, do they rebound well enough to survive the games where people can create a ton of rim pressure? Like, I'm thinking Tennessee, I'm thinking Florida. Like, those are going to be matchups for them where, again, they're either going to have to outscore people or they're going to have to get stops constantly. I don't think they're going to have to outscore everybody like they did last year, But I think that's good because I don't think they'll shoot quite as well either. Like, I don't know who the knockdown guy is. I like Jalen Lowe, maybe not as much as the Kentucky people. I think Denzel's a good shooter, but it's going to be interesting from that regard with Kentucky. So that was our number two team. We have Arkansas at third. I'm not going to say I regret this yet. I don't. I just really like Jacoby Gillespie, and I'll get to Tennessee in a second. Arkansas, I think, they've got the roster that has, you know, I think guy for guy, if you were going to say, is there a roster in the SEC that has as many likely NBA pros as Florida? And I think Arkansas is that roster, right? Like, I think Carter Knox is an NBA guy. Darius Acuff, NBA guy. You know, Malik Thomas, NBA guy. So at least three. DJ Wagner, I think, could still become that. You know, obviously not the lotto pick that people thought he was. Billy Richmond, another guy who you look at, you watch the way he guards, and you think, man, that might be a role player. This is just such a talented group, at least for me. I think Darius Acuff is going to compete and maybe win SEC Freshman of the Year. He'd be a guy that I think, you know, I do think that they will. I think they'll get plenty out of him to where they don't miss Boogie Flan that much, right? I don't know if Acuff guards like Boogie, but, you know, certainly from a shot-making perspective, more ceiling there, just a tremendous player. Obviously, Carter Knox came on and played great at the end of last year. He's actually their best player in the Torvik PRPG, you know, points above replacement player metric. So a guy who is super valuable for them on both ends when he's out there, ended up being kind of a high offensive rating kid, man. Like, you know, I felt like they definitely got a lot out of him, and he was a huge reason why they just kept winning down the stretch. And, you know, it went from like, is year one under Cal going to be a complete and utter disaster, to like, is this a team that's actually going to get a decent seed rather quickly, right? And I think all of that was a product of kind of the improvement of Carter Knox, and the fact that obviously they finally got something out of Janelle Davis. But remember, like, they started 0-5 in the league, and, you know, they ended up, what, 8-10 in the SEC. So they went 8-5 down the stretch. And they had good wins, man. Like, they beat Kentucky. They beat Mizzou. You know, they beat Vanderbilt, who was pretty good. They beat Miss State. Bunch of teams that went to the NCAA tournament. So when they beat St. John's, they were peaking. They were peaking. And, you know, they didn't get much out of Big Z, Visich. But they got a great year out of DJ Wagner, who's the guy who never comes off the floor for Cal. And won't this year either. And then they got a great, great jump from Carter Knox and from you know, Billy Richmond. Those guys all came on for them. So do I like their roster? Absolutely. I think that there's just so much upside there with those young freshmen too. Malik Thomas, kind of a loud guy, a talker. Couldn't be any more different than Darius Acuff. But I think if you blend all that together and you trust John Calipari to like make it work, which he's done forever and ever by March, like, I don't know. I think that's a team that I really like. And just give me a
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.